You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So baptism symbolizes more than just water. It's the ultimate reset button, marking a fresh start in our journey with God. But what does it really mean to leave the old behind and step into the new? So let's dive deep into the layers of this age-old practice and explore what baptism means as a personal new beginning. And we are joined on the line by our pastor, Pastor Ngwenya, who is going to be helping us with this one. Mfundisi, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, and how are you?
I'm good, Pastor. Thank you so much for coming through to speak to us.
I'm happy to participate this morning.
Indeed. Mfundisi, before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer?
Okay, let us pray. Our kind and loving Father in heaven, Lord, so thankful that we can study your word online. We pray that you may take charge, that you may lead and guide, and that you may broaden our level of understanding through this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, as we get into this issue of baptism, right, it's often said that when you get baptized, you know, you die to your old self and your new self will arise, you know, when the lift you up now from the water. You know, there are quite a lot of explanations of what baptism is, but how does it now signify a new beginning? You know, and why is it important, this concept of baptism? Why is it important in a Christian's life?
Well, thank you so much for those important questions. Firstly, as a way of defining what it means, looking at the word baptism, baptisma in Greek, and then to baptize, baptizo in Greek, these words originate from the root word bapto, which means to dip or to immerse. So that's the meaning of the word, picking it from the Greek word. Then the issue of transformation, a change, a new beginning. We will base our discussions on Romans 6, verse 3 to 5, which brings out this concept in a very clear way, the need for transformation and a new beginning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, when
But maybe if you allow me, I could read that verse.
Yes, please.
Romans chapter 6, verse 3 to 5. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we're buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. So that's the verse, that's the text that captures the essence of our discussion.
Okay. So when a person has been baptized in Pundis, or they're thinking about baptism, right, how does it now inspire them, or does it even inspire them, you know, to make changes in their lives? Guti, when I now get out of the pool, I need to start doing 1, 2, 3, or I need to change 1, 2, 3 from my life.
Thank you for the question. The assumption is that the person would have been taught, the ones assisting them, preparing them for baptism, have made it clear to the person, explained to him what it means. And having read the verse that I just picked from Romans, that the explanation of it already challenges the person to reconsider their ways, to align their life goals with God's greater purposes, adopting new values that are Bible-based. So, yes, that understanding, which should take place before baptism, challenges the person to look at life in a different perspective.
Okay, all right. So looking at, we have multiple denominations in Mpundisi, multiple, all everyone believe, you know, in the body of Christ. You know, how do we differ now as Christians in those denominations, you know, in terms of interpreting the concept of rebirth through baptism? Others believe in immersion, others they sprinkle, others it's okay, even if you did, you know, you don't get baptized. So how do we differ with as denominations when it comes to the concept of baptism?
Thank you so much. Maybe before I go into the differences, let's get the foundation from the word of God itself. The key text there in response to that question would be Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 to 9. And it says, there is one body and one spirit, just as there is one hope to which God has called you. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There is one God and Father of all, who is Lord of all, and works through all and is in all. So from this biblical text, the expectation from God is that we should have one mode of baptism based on the example of Jesus Christ, based on the text that we just read in Romans, which tells us clearly that baptism is a symbol. The way we do it should align with the symbol that depicts what is intended by the scripture. So yes, we have different ways of baptism today, but according to the Bible, the expectation is that we should have one mode, because that's what the Bible admonishes us to. So if we really followed the Bible, there would be a one mode of baptism. Of course, we know there are different denominations look at it, the infants, and interpret it, the act as imparting grace, preparing for a lifelong journey of faith. And then the other, dip a finger on the water and, you know, draw a cross on the forehead of a person. These are different forms, but they don't find any biblical basis. There is no biblical text that support that practice. The only practice that is supported by the Bible is baptism by immersion, which aligns with the definition of the word itself. So yes, we have different modes of baptisms, but the Bible is the only rule of faith and practice. It is the only norm. It is the only norm of all norms. So if we really want to align ourselves with what God expects, we should then follow a thus says the Lord. The thus says the Lord in this context, it talks about baptism by immersion, just as Christ was baptized. Remember, both of them were in the water. Remember also the Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, both of them went into the water, and the baptizer had to immerse the person, then they came out of water. So again, the others who baptized, he immersed seven times, others five times. But from the symbolism of death that we find in Romans, that falls off, because the Bible should be the rule of faith and practice. So again, I acknowledge that there are different ways of doing it, but according to the biblical text, there should be one way of doing it. Thank you.
Okay, so as we near the end of Mpundisi, when a person is getting baptized, or the concept of baptism itself, you know, how does it encourage us now to approach our daily lives with a renewed sense of purpose?
Yes, no, having once it has been explained to us what is expected of us when we started this journey, it challenges us to keep checking ourselves if our activities, our behavior aligns with God's purposes. And then again, there are spiritual disciplines of regular prayer, studying the Bible, you know, joining a faith community, serving others. All these disciplines, if one engages in them, it helps them, you know, to live a life that aligns with what God expects from an individual. So understanding the concept itself, knowing that it is a symbol of a new beginning, knowing that after baptism, you are expected to live a transformed life. You know, it's a symbol of death. So we don't expect ghosts coming out, the old life coming out.
Yeah.
So that should challenge us.
Okay, all right. So, Israel, as we close the Mfundisi, I'm also going to ask, you know, that after you pray after this answer, would you say then that it is very much important for anyone who accepts Christ to get baptized?
Yes, definitely. Remember what Jesus said when John was refusing to baptize him. He says, let's do it to fulfill all righteousness.
Okay.
So, baptism is a fulfillment of all righteousness according to Jesus Christ. And when you go to Matthew 28, the imperative is for us to teach them, to baptize them, and to teach them. So, yes, it's imperative. It is a way that God has devised for us to, you know, an initiation into this newfound faith, into this newfound life. And so it's imperative, really.
Yeah. Okay. If you can, please.
The challenge is for us to consider.
Yeah. Yeah. Please do pray for us, Mfundisi, as we close.
Yeah, thank you so much. As we prepare to pray now, I challenge, if there's anyone who has not considered it, if there's somebody who's listening to us and they're not baptized, and they were asking how is it done, as we continue studying together, I challenge you to consider baptism. It is important. It is an imperative that God has given to us. May God bless you as you consider getting baptized. Let us pray. Okay, loving Father in heaven, Lord, I'm so thankful for the opportunity that you've given us to study together this important topic of baptism. Thank you for the message that has been delivered to us. We pray that, Lord, you may give us the capacity, the ability, and the willingness to apply these lessons in our lives, to take a bold step, a bold decision, a bold resolve to follow you even in the example of baptism that Christ left us. Those that have not yet chosen to be baptized, made a decision to be baptized, we pray that, Lord, you may speak to them through the Holy Spirit and convict them of the need, of the importance of baptism. And Lord, help us to live a transformed life, lives that are aligned with God's greater purposes. Help us, Lord, to adopt values that align with your word so that we live a life that is aligned with your word. So help us, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, thank you so much. May you have yourself a blessed day.
No, thank you so much. May God bless you too and all those that are listening. I thank you.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.